congratulate you on your recent award from the USGA. And did that come as a little bit of a surprise to you?
Actually, it did. It did, Rory, because it's very humbling to see the past recipients of that award. Look at some of the icons in research and development with golf, with turfgrass and agronomy, and the handful of superintendents that are on there as well. That's what caused me surprise, and certainly adds that much pride to it as well. But the list of people that have won is a great mix of people that I like to say that study the science of agronomy, and then the superintendents are, you know, applying the art of greenkeeping, and the synergy of those two groups is really what makes golf, keeps advancing golf and turfgrass.
Well, Bob, you've been in the industry almost 40 years now, and you've got almost as many years at Pinehurst. And tell me a little bit how your job has evolved over the years. It sort of sounded like when I first knew you that you had about 8 golf courses to worry about, and now it's more than 8 golf courses at Pinehurst. But every time they're tearing something down or rebuilding or reimagining, or there's a construction project going on at the resort, you've got to be over there taking a look at how things are setting up and progressing.
Yeah, it's great to be part of that. It's like living a dream for 40 years, really, because when I came here, we had 6 courses, and number 7 was on the planning books and ready to start, and we opened number 7 in 85, so which was my first, number 4 course was being restored by, or being redesigned by Reese Jones when I first came here, so I was involved in some of that. And then Reese did number 7 course with us. So my involvement goes back to that, whatever experience I've had with construction, which is wonderful. So many people in my profession, you know, they migrate to being involved in new courses. Some like to just travel around building courses and developments. Some superintendents migrate to want to be working at a PGA Tour stop on the quote-unquote championships. They tend to relocate, change jobs occasionally as well. But I've been able to really keep my same desk for all these years and be involved in the private sector of golf, the country club sector, the resort sector, construction, championships, and all that while living in a beautiful community like Pinehurst. And so that's where I feel really blessed.
Bob, every year at the U.S. Open, superintendents sometimes from all over the country come to be part of the crew that week. And how many people are you going to get a chance to work with, you and your team at Pinehurst? I'm sure you'll have a lot of helpers. And when people come in from clubs that haven't hosted a championship, and maybe in some cases some of these helpers for the week are hoping their club's going to get a championship down the road. What's that experience like? What do you tell them when they ask you about keeping something like Pinehurst 2 ready for the nation's championship? And any these younger guys in the industry want to pick your brain a little bit. What do you tell them and hope that they take from that week?
We're a little unique in the championship, the major championship sites, that we don't really bring a great deal of visiting superintendents, if you will. They all know they're welcome, and many of them come, but they're not necessarily encumbered or really on the volunteer list per se. But they're our guests, and they'll come and visit us. We do everything to try and involve all of our existing staff. That, you know, they're impacted by the championship preparations. All the courses are impacted to a certain extent, so they have a little bit of the pain and aggravation going into the championship. So we want to, in a sense, reward them by having their involvement in the championship operation for the week, which I think is wonderful. The other aspect of having visitors at different times of the year outside of championships, we really roll out the welcome mat and try to encourage people to come and visit the Green Start Academy that we host with John Deere and Rainbird and Indu of assistants from around the country and Canada every year for 3 days for education and leadership training and engaging. So that's really our reach to those outside the industry that might not necessarily be in a position to come visit Pinehurst on their own. So that's a wonderful thing. So we do enjoy that. And I have a number of friends. We all have numbers of friends that come during championship week and just to visit and offer their help if needed or support. And that means a lot to us.
Bob, I've got to ask you a little bit about what it takes to maintain the golf courses. I was in a discussion here with the director of golf who oversees a few golf courses in the Chicago area the other day, and he was telling me about the costs to keep golf courses in the condition that people expect, and especially now with the demand on golf. And some clubs here are seeing record years in the amount of rounds played, and they said, yeah, the same piece of fairway or rough mowing equipment that maybe the year before COVID might have cost us $40,000-$45,000 to buy is now over $70,000 to get the same mower, maybe with a couple of improvements on it. So, and then he said, you know, and he says, and people sometimes they get upset when we raise their green fees $2 a year, and they don't realize that just the cost of what it takes to get some of these mowers and some of these equipment and some of the different pieces of equipment you need to maintain a golf course these days, and whether it's fertilizer or sand or anything else, the costs of maintaining a golf course have, especially quality golf courses like the ones that you look out on, is getting to be a bigger price tag every year.
Yeah, it certainly isn't immune to inflation and our need to invest in technology. And we do, as you said, the price, the entry level price of a fairway mower or a sprayer or something like that. You know, it's the cost of technology is reflected in it. I mean, but we're making more precision applications of products. We're mowing things more efficiently. It's got a little bit less of a total impact on per hours, total hours worked on the golf course, but the training and adaptability of those hours have to be as a higher trained person requires because of the technology. So it all washes out to be certainly an inflationary factor that people are paying more to play golf. They're paying more to travel to go play golf or to go to Disney World or wherever they may be going. All of those, everything has gone up, and golf's not any different. And our operations, our increased cost of the maintenance each year on each course is certainly in line, reflects the rising green fees, resort fees, country club dues. Everything is certainly moved up since 2019.
Well, Bob, I have to ask you, through various projects the Pinehurst Resort has undertaken during your time there, what's it been like for you to sort of look over the shoulder as the resort either renovates, restores, or builds new golf? I know the new number 10 course with Tom Doak and Angela Moser is the first new course for the resort in many years, but you were there long enough to see, number 7 get built, number 8 get built through Tom Fazio, and then, of course, Gil Hans comes in and redoes number 4 and creates the cradle, and you've had a front row seat to watch some of these designers work. What's that been like for you, and how great is it to have an understanding of what they're thinking when they build these courses, or they renovate them, or restorate them, or reimagine them?
I've loved every minute of it. It's always challenging. There's always at some point during the project, you look around and you think, oh my gosh, why are we doing this? Are we ever going to finish this? But you just persevere, and that's certainly part of the experience of doing it. We've had some great successes with all the championships and all the new courses we've worked with those architects to create, and a few of them more than once, like course number 4. And each iteration of number 4 has been very successful in its own right. And we spend a lot of time looking forward, and I appreciate that, and the leadership of our executive team and ownership of really looking forward, but at the same time respecting what we have in our past, and making sure that we show respect for that, and tastefully go forward with things that is going to be more appealing to the next generation of golf. And some of the things we've addressed in that have been successful, and we hope to continue to do that.
Bob, over the years, you know, Pinehurst has had a tradition of, you know, Parkland golf courses, and we've seen more and more clubs, you know, sometimes for good reasons, maybe sometimes not so much for others, but we see clubs come in and take down hundreds or thousands of trees on a renovation project. And we see other changes to the game, the change out of the orange or brownish sand into white sand these days. What has, in your mind, what's made an impact on the courses of Pinehurst, and do you see any changes coming to golf course design, whether it's grass? I know a lot of clubs, more so down south, have switched from, they've gone from bent, they've gone to Bermuda, they've switched back and forth. What do you see happening in the terms of the different well, the different things that are used to put together an outstanding golf course these days?
One of our, that's a great question, Roy. One of our milestone events during my time here, the last four decades or what have you, was the restoration of course number two. And that really, really triggered, we had history to go on, right? We had that history to look back on and say, this is what course number two, this is what Donald Ross intended. That's what it was. Like in 1943, we had the photographs of number two, and Bill Coore and Ben Crenshaw and ourselves decided that, you know, that era of course number two from the 40s and 50s and early 60s was its sweet spot. That's its identity. And it had lost that identity. And with their credibility and vision, we were able to recreate that because we had history to go on. And that the success, the huge success, is a huge fact that could have been a disaster, but it turned out beautifully, and it's been so well received by everyone that it's caused us to do so many things since then with that same fabric and DNA of what number two is today. The cradle was born from that. Number four, Johann's version, number four was born from that. But I think more importantly, or as importantly, it enabled us to see that the overseeding, the cosmetic aspect of overseeding and the resources it takes to do that wasn't necessary to have the great golf course. So it allowed us to have confidence to stop overseeding everything. And it also, the other big factor that this happened in the last 15 years was the conversion of the cool season bent greens to the warm season ultra-dwarf varieties for the putting surfaces, which are so much more sustainable from all inputs perspective, more sustainable in that regard. But most importantly, the conditioning levels, essentially 12 months out of the year versus the cool season varieties that were really threatened in the summer months, which always gave us cause for concern when we were getting ready to host a major championship or just our day-to-day demand on golf. That we've completely been able to flip the there's no such thing really as high season or shoulder season of conditioning. It's really consistent throughout the year instead of having transition seasons.
Bob, do you ever, you know, you're right there, and you mentioned Donald Ross, and his house sits right there prominently near the third tee box on course number two. And do you ever find yourself driving past his cottage over there and thinking, what would Donald Ross think if he could walk around Pinehurst today and take a look at the courses he did and the ones that have been added on since he quit building?
No, I certainly do that. you know, we have that's part of our property now, the Ross Cottage or the Dornick Cottage. In fact, Gil Hance, while he was here working on course number four for those several months, he lived on site. He and his wife Tracy lived in the house, in Donna Ross's house, so he worked in his study. And you know, I think he felt a pretty daunting responsibility in that same regard. I've heard him tell a story of walking to work, essentially across course number two over to his site, number four, and you know, feeling the burden of that, the thrill of doing it, but it's also a burden, right? I mean, the expectation levels, and I feel that I think many of our team feel that each day, that it's we have a great deal of respect for the golf courses and what Ross did here, and I think that's just part of what makes us enjoy being here.
Well, I know from talking to Ben Crenshaw, he told me when I asked him about getting the job and re-envisioning number two, he said there was days that he and his partner Bill Corr, he says, we were just afraid of screwing it up, and and he said, boy, we didn't want to do that. He says, we didn't want every somebody who thinks they know a little bit about architecture saying, boy, Ben and Bill really messed up Donald Ross's masterpiece. And he says, we sweated it out, you know, a lot of days, and I'm sure Gil felt some of the same pressures. And you know, I've been fortunate enough to be in the Donald Ross house, and I'm sure you were over there a lot as certain upgrades and things were being done to that property before the resort fully got it up and running and were able to move Gil and his wife in there. But I know that, you know, it's a special place, and you know, I think it's amazing how many golfers, and I've heard them when I play number two, they go to the caddy and they go, isn't the Ross house around here somewhere? And they all want to know where it is, and they all want to pull out their phone and take a picture of it or something. And yeah, it is pretty neat. And I know people that have played up at Essex Country Club near Boston, and you know, alongside of that course was Donald's Northern residence, mm-hmm. as well. And it's some people say that's part of the special feeling of playing Essex is walking past the Ross House. And I'm sure the people that play at Pinehurst a lot of times feel the same way. So
it's interesting. We were on a golf trip up in that area several years ago and decided we wanted to go to visit the Donald Ross's gravesite, his family's gravesite there. Was it Watertown? I forget the name of the community. But when we got there to see it, there were Putter Boy golf balls and hats with the Putter Boy logo on them of people that had traveled there with Pinehurst on their mind in order to see Donald Ross's gravesite, which was kind of interesting to see that number of people that had that much respect to do that. That's pretty cool.
Bob, have they given you a little insight about what your night will be like at the USGA annual meetings when you'll step up on the stage and receive your award?
Yeah, somewhat, and I'm really looking forward to it. And thank you for calling out to congratulate me on that. And my wife and I, I'm sure, will enjoy a nice weekend in Nashville.
Do you have to write a speech, an acceptance speech for that night?
I wrote a few words out, yeah. So just to really to comment on my longtime respect for the USGA and certainly the green section aspect of it. And I think our DNA and culture at Pinehurst and the fabric of Pinehurst is certainly shared with the USGA and with Richard Tufts, our founding family, with him having been the president of the USGA in the early 1950s. And he was a very big advocate of the green section agronomy team. So I think it's very appropriate that whether my name's on it or not, I think it's appropriate that that an award is in Pinehurst's hands related to that. So I'm proud of that.
Bob, again, congratulations for me. I think the award is very well deserved, and I hope you and your wife have a nice time over there in Nashville. And I will look forward to hopefully seeing you back on property next month at Pinehurst. And I hope you have your clubs cleaned up, and I look forward to walking around number 10 with you and swatting the golf ball around a little bit.
All right, my friend. Thank you. I enjoyed chatting with you.